Mel and I decided this morning to ask Rodney's and Downton's to do that. But I have to admit that when they all walked up here and Shil and I weren't standing with that group, I felt something. That would have been the original crew if we'd all been there together. So, anyway, blessings as you go. I would like to share a message this morning that I've titled One Heart at a Time. And I think it's a fitting message for the fact that Rodney's are visiting here this morning, or visiting here, I don't know if that's quite the right word, and Glenn's are going off to service. But I want to say that what I share is for all of us, although it has a specific point in reaching out to those that we meet. I was inspired with these thoughts when I was out in Michigan here. Zeke and I load out of Michigan pretty regular now, and there's a forklift driver there that I talk to on a pretty regular basis. So the other morning he was quite disturbed in telling me that the United States bombed Iran last night, and he was quite worked up. So I'm kind of curious about something. I don't know my audience well enough to know. How many of you purposefully keep track of what's going on in the world? How many of you purposefully don't keep track of what's going on in the world? So how many of you, I watch the news. I pay attention to what's going on, okay? How many of you purposefully don't watch what's going on in the news, okay? And the rest of you are somewhere in between. That's fine. That's good. For those of us who watch what's going on in the news, we have a responsibility to think about the world from a godly worldview. And if we don't, we lose our ability to be to the world what I think God is calling us to be. So when I was talking to this forklift driver, John, he calls me Budro when I come in. Good morning, Budro. And that's what he calls me every time I pull up. He was feeling some fear and dismay as to what was going on. Some shock, like, what happens now? What's going to go on? And I agree that I felt similar things when I heard that Tehran was bombed. But ironically, what's it been, a week and a half? And nothing wild has happened since then. The world didn't end. It is ending. Okay, I think we need to be aware of that. When I was growing up, I've said this before, when I was growing up, planes would go over and we would always say the Russians are coming, you know. That was the 70s, height of the Cold War. But life was really peaceful. Like, we really did not worry about our safety. We did not worry about economy. I guess there, if you were an adult in the early 80s, there was some economic stuff going on there that was a problem. I remember gas lines at the gas pumps. But generally, in my lifetime, the world and the United States has been really a peaceful place to live. But we sort of mark 9/11 as a turning point in our national security, or our feeling of national security, that all is as it ought to be. And when COVID hit, I remember asking myself, how crazy can this get? But it's actually just gotten crazier. And the world is continuing to get crazier. I think we are seeing, and Dr. David Jeremiah during COVID said, somebody asked him directly to speak on, are we seeing the end times? And his answer, in very short, one sentence to a sermon, is, this is the shadow of things to come. This is just a shadow of that which is coming. So after I got back in my truck after talking with John and was heading back east, I was listening to Spotify, which I do frequently, and the Schwartz family played a song called One Heart at a Time. And it talks about the world being a problem and things not going well, life not going well for different individuals. And we can't fix the world. But we can change the world one heart at a time. And after all the years of living up here, 30 years since we moved up here, it's more than that, we moved up here to win Bradford for Christ. Okay, that's why we came here. But I have become convinced that what God wants me to do is to win one heart at a time, and the heart that I'm supposed to take care of is the one that's in front of me right now. It might be Lincoln, it might be Ezra, it might be one of my grands, or it could be any other random person, the forklift driver out in Edwardsburg, Michigan. And God is calling us to meet one heart at a time. We don't have to fix the world. We can't fix the world. And if we think that we have to fix the world, we get ourselves in all kinds of worried dither. And that's not what God wants for us. So anyway, that's my sermon in a summary. Turn with me to Matthew 24:3-8. Matthew 24:3-8. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." Important line. We often read the world, "Ye shall see of hear of wars and rumors of wars." The next phrase is, "See that ye be not troubled," because that's actually the first thing that we don't do. We become troubled by the fact that the news isn't good today. But the word here from God is, "See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow." So I'm going to stop there. See that ye be not troubled. That is the first point that I want us to remember this morning. See that ye be not troubled. If we go on to John chapter 14, there's a passage that I memorized when I was little. In John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they're worried that he's going away. So Rodney mentioned that no matter where we go, we take ourselves with us, but we also take God with us, all right? So no matter what trouble we're facing, the disciples here were feeling really alone because they had grabbed a hold of the idea that Jesus was leaving. And this is what Jesus says to them. John chapter 14, I will read verses 1 through 6. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know thy way?" How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So what I want us to think about this morning is when we think about the world and how troubled it is, and I'm saying that we need to have a God worldview, a godly worldview. I'm trying to help us get a picture of what that looks like. How should we respond to the world? Because if we don't know how to respond to the world and the troubles that are going on around us in a peaceful, godly way, we will not be able to help people out in the world who are feeling fear and dismay or anger and confusion and frustration, all right? And that's what God's calling us to be a people of peace, that we can speak life and peace into the world around us. This is part of the perspective. Jesus said, he's going away and he's preparing a place for us. So where we are right now is transient. We're not going to stay here forever. This is only temporary. And there are temporary troubles, but they are temporary. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Turn with me back to Revelation. This is the place that he is preparing for us. Revelation 21, 1 through 6. I'm not going to say anything extremely profound this morning, and everything I read to you, to us, is going to be familiar. I am merely trying to encourage our hearts in our day. Revelation 21, 1 through 6. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Incredible. This is the best that is yet to come. This is what's coming. And he says he is making a new thing. Remember that passage in, what is it, Jeremiah or Isaiah, when he talks about doing a new thing? Behold, it shall speedily spring forth. At the Red Sea, the people walked. He parted the waters, and they walked through on dry land. And now he says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to make rivers in the desert. All right? That's a foretelling of Christ coming. He is doing a new thing. God is doing new things for us. There is new and better things that are coming. Point number two is that I was astonished by this thought. When you hear of Zelensky and Putin and Trump and what's the guy's name in Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, there's lots of state leaders who we would consider today as evil men, men who are for themselves or for their country. I was down at Rutter's at Milroy the other week, and there was this three lowboy loads there with these huge cat payloaders on them. They had explosion-proof doors on them and bulletproof windows and bolted-on armor that was 3/4 inch thick, and I was talking to one of the drivers. They had 20,000 pounds of armor on top of the machine. It was an 85,000-pound machine to begin with. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on here? He said, well, there's 20 or 30 of these that are being shipped into New Jersey right now. They're going to be put on a boat and taken over to Israel to start cleaning up. And I'm like, war is really dumb. They go over there and blow everything up, and then we have these massive millions that go out to put it all back together again. All evil men will one day bow before God. All evil men will bow before God. All evil people will bow before God. All of these state leaders who are sitting in that G7 conference will bow before God and confess that Jesus is Lord. That's an incredible thought. It doesn't matter. Like, art makes our evangelism efforts really seem menial. When we try to take the gospel out to the world, there is a day that's coming that every single one of us and every single state leader, every politician is going to bow before God and confess that Jesus is Lord. That's an incredible thought. Turn with me. Let's read it. The question for us is, will you, when you bow before God, will you do that in fear or will you do that in joy? When you confess that he is Lord, will you do that in fear? Or will you do that in joy? Because you will do it. Every single one of us will. Romans 14. Romans 14.11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And then Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 9 through 12. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Incredible verses that we are going to bow before God. Let's do it with joy and not in fear. I have become convinced that God asked of me in spreading the gospel is simply to be aware of who is in my path today. Who is in my path today? Who has God ordained or allowed to cross my paths today? That's who God wants me to minister to. And it could be any person that we know or don't know, random individuals at the store. That doesn't mean we don't need to seek out certain persons and individuals for discipling or mentoring, but it does mean that every day God is giving us opportunities, and we need to be aware of that. God is giving us opportunities to minister life and peace to a world that is confused and afraid and angry and frustrated. Who are these people? Don't just think of the persons that come in front of you only in terms of unbelievers. It might be our friends, our children, our extended family, brothers and sisters in the church. Wife, it may be your husband who needs a reassurance. Husband, it may be your wife who needs reassurance. Mother with tiny infant, you may be called to minister peace by washing clothes, cooking food, and changing diapers. It is the small as well as the big. When we're doing God's work, when we're reaching one heart at a time, it doesn't mean doing big ministry. It means meeting the person that God has placed in your path today in this moment. That's what God's calling us to. And that's the perspective that I think we need to have when we face the world and the turmoil that's going on around us. I want us to know today that as people of peace in a world of turmoil, we cannot fix the world, but we can change the world one heart at a time. We can change the world one heart at a time. Going back to John chapter 14. Going back to John 14, I want to look at the more towards the end of this passage now as we think about being people of peace. He has given us his peace. John 14, 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we look in the scripture for words that God has called us to not be afraid, it's there. There's lots of words there. And the phrase, let not your heart be troubled, or don't be troubled, is there more than it's three or four times that I found it here. Don't be afraid. If we're going to be a people of peace, a people of sanity, a people of reason. We cannot be living on a daily diet of Facebook and YouTube and Fox News or whatever other social medias that are out there. It is dismaying if you go into that realm to even discern truth. And so we need to be very discreet and thinking when we go to look to see what is going on in the world. Rather, we should be living on a diet of God's word and godly music. When life is rough, listen to godly music or sing godly music or sing along with godly music. That's how we build our joy, and that's how we build our peace. Young adults, as you're out there on the job, as I watch my children go to work, they have incredible opportunities because they're different than the world around them. They are different people than the other young people that are out there working. And so you young people, you have incredible opportunities in the job market to be a light and to minister one heart at a time. And sometimes your testimony is actually to people who are far older than yourself, because they look at you and they look around them at other young people and they're like, this is a different animal than I'm used to. And I've seen that over and over again with our children going out to work. And so you have incredible opportunities to minister peace to a world that's afraid. If we're going to be people of peace, if we're going to be people who minister life, we're going to have to be people who fear God. The Western world today is much about love, and God is love. I don't want to take that away. But the message that we have for the world isn't just love God and be loved by God. The message is also fear God, to fear God. Staying in John 14, let's read verses 15 through 25. Jesus, again, still talking with his disciples about his going away. This is the last words that Jesus had with his disciples. Starting in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that keepeth my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." We can't talk about love for God without talking about obedience, without talking about fearing God. It goes together. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being at present with you." We frequently ask ourselves and each other, do you love God? The important question, that is an important question, but here Jesus asks us another question along with the first. The second question's answer is proof of the reality of the first. Do you love God? Do you fear God? The answer to the second question proves the answer to the first question. If you don't fear God, if we don't live in obedience to God, then we actually can't say that we love him. The two go hand in hand. A man who loves God also fears him and seeks to obey him. The proof of our love for God is our willingness to live in obedience with God's commands. If we are going to be a people of peace and love and be able to give strength to the fainting heart, we need to be a people who both fear God and love God. But we do it imperfectly. And I don't expect that we think that we will do it perfectly. Turn with me to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. I find this to be a comfort in this story. The story of the potter and the clay. The message is that the clay is made by the potter, and God is our, we are the clay and he is the potter. It tells us that. But one of the things that stood out to me as I was studying this week is that the clay was marred on the wheel, and the potter made it yet again. He rebuilt it. And we're marred. We make mistakes. The representation of Christ that we do sometimes is marred, but the potter makes it yet again. Read with me on chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it yet again. He made it again, another vessel, so it seemed as seemed good to the potter to make it. That is a picture of redemption. That's a picture of the mistakes that we make. It says that the potter made the mistake, but we make mistakes, and the potter is willing to make it again and to make it new into something that is useful. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." We are imperfect children of God, living in an imperfect world, but we have a perfect Father who has given us all things in Christ. And we have his Holy Spirit inside us. We have been commissioned as ambassadors to bring peace to a troubled world. And that isn't just Glenn's or Rodney's going back to their places or where they're going. That's all of us here, no matter who we are or where we're working. We have been commissioned as ambassadors to bring peace to a troubled world. But we will make mistakes. We will sin, but we have the offer of repentance and forgiveness. And he will make us yet again. So let us go from here this morning with a renewed vision of peace and life for a troubled world, a new sense that we have been called to speak peace to the world one heart at a time. Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we're the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." And that is what I see as a summary of what our worldview should be as we live out our life here in the 21st century with the world being as it is in ways that, I don't know, I didn't live during the Great Depression. I didn't live during World War I or World War II. There was other times of history that were really bad. And it'd be interesting to sit and talk with some of those people. I have food on the table, and I have work to go to tomorrow, all right? There was times that my grandparents and people around them didn't even have that. And so we're actually really blessed, even though things look a little crazy. So God bless you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this country that you've placed us in, for the incredible peace that we've had nationally over the years. And Father, we acknowledge that with humility, that much of the world has not had the plenty that we've had, has not had the peace that we've experienced. And as that, even today, right now, going on around the world, there's much unrest and there's much suffering. I pray that you would help us to not hide our heads in the sand, but to be aware and to have a godly mindset towards the way you see the world. Help us, Father, to be people of life and people of peace because of your Spirit living within us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Should we have a song?
Turn in your Zion's praises to Psalm number 680.